Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The man with one talent. Every believer is equipped by God for service. One way or another, God made no mistakes. Every person came into this world with design and with purpose. Whether they are going to come to the realization and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, that therefore they can fulfill that responsibility, is a different story. But every person is important. We are piles of clay with the breath of life, and God has purpose for each one. The truth is, some will have a little higher profile than others. The truth is, most people will have a very common ministry for the Lord. On earthly standards, low profile, but on God's standards, only will be known in heaven. Do you ever feel insignificant? Get over it, because God has not made you by mistake. Think of a game of chess. You have pieces, knights, bishops, rooks, queens, they can move a variety of ways. And then you have the little pawn, limited in what he can do, and yet very important. Now, sometimes when we talk about pawns, it's a very derogatory thing. I don't mean it in this illustration to be derogatory in any way. But I want you to think about a game of chess, how important the pawns are. If you don't think they're important, try sometime. Set up the pieces, remove all the pawns, let your opponent have pawns and pieces, and tell me who's going to win. You'll find out real fast how important those pawns are. Again, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, that we're just pawns. I understand that expression, and that's not what I mean. The truth is, God has made a whole lot of common people. And yet, He must have needed common people, because the work is great. We're going to consider the work for every man with an absolute emphasis on the man with one talent. Because many people, in essence, fall in that level category. Let us read our text passage, Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. And obviously, this is talking about the kingdom. But there are truths here that I want to extract that can pertain to all servants as they seek to fulfill their responsibilities that God has given them. Matthew chapter 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, hid his Lord's money, and after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast what thou is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. I want to extract the concepts here of being faithful for the ministry, for the work, the abilities that God has given you in this life to serve Him. This man going on a journey divided his talents and his goods among his servants as he saw fit. And we see 3 cited here. One was given 5. He used those talents, they prospered, and he was rewarded. One was given 2. He used those talents, they prospered, he was rewarded. And one was given 1, and he failed to use that talent. He that received 1, I was afraid. I went and hid thy talent. And for that, he was not rewarded, rather he was reprimanded. His 1 talent was taken from him, given it to the one with 10. Very sobering lessons for us, because we also have responsibilities here in this life to serve God as He has given us opportunity and ability. Throughout the years, God's people have come into this world, lived for a brief time. Many did what they could, many failed. Let us learn from our simple story here, when time is no more, that we can hear those words, "Well done," instead of "You slothful servant." You see, God today is not using per se the kingdom. I don't want to get into that. That's not the point of the message. The point is I want to talk about the church. And God has ordained the local church. Yes, there is the church, the universal body of Christ. But God has also ordained local churches. Case in point, here we are. And this pertains to all local churches, that we need to be found faithful as God has planted us to serve as a unified body of believers and do a work that He has for us individually and as a body. In our text, we read where this man is giving away. It starts out with goods, but then it specifies talents. Talents actually means money. Consider Matthew 25:27. As the master was rebuking him, he said, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money." In the illustration, it was money, but it was representing a tool that that servant had, and he was to use it for the benefit of the master. Well, obviously, there was apparently a real situation throughout time that people could relate to. But really, it's talking to all of God's people, because He gives us something of value to use to the glory of God. And we're not to hide it, we're to use it. And God will bless it and multiply it. And we'll be rewarded, and when time is no more, we'll be glad we did with what we had. Rather today than having talents, as in this illustration, we are given gifts. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 12:4. As we saw in our story, our text, 5, 2, and 1, so it is God gives today in the church diversity of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So as this man going on a journey had 5, 2, and 1, but it was the servants in the same environment, so it is, we can see today, for our edification, is the points that we're in the church. The same environment, but God in this room has given some of us different gifts. As I started out, some are going to have higher profile than others. But that doesn't mean they're unimportant. Now we have to really consider, why would God give such an illustration? And really, if you read that, put an emphasis on the man with one talent. Why would he focus on the failure? Well, it's a warning to us. In this world, in this life, we're going to have natural abilities and we're going to have God-given abilities. There are some people, few albeit, are geniuses, few are prodigies, and most are common people. The world tends to note those who excel in whatever natural talent and ability they have. Politics, whether you want to call that succeeding or not, is up to debate. Business, banking, sports, preaching, music, writing, inventing, creating. And these people seem to have boundless energy. They bubble to the surface. The media promotes them. We know their names, whether you care to or not, because it's in the news quite often. And to them, it seems like, how do you do all this? How do you succeed? Now, my illustration, I realize that breaks down because there are some very talented people that are lazy. And you look at him and you say, why in the name of common sense don't you do something with all your talent? But I want to put these people in contrast to the common people. See, these people that are naturally gifted, but are they using it to the glory of God? I want you just to stop and think, where am I going with this? We all have natural abilities that we give to God in all of its simplicity. Can you get up and walk? That's a natural ability. Use it to the glory of God. Where are you going to walk? Don't walk there. See what I'm saying? We all have some degree of natural talent. Some happen to bubble to the surface. We sing hymns. Some of you sing better than others. Some are outstanding. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. You see, natural abilities, though, differ from spiritual abilities. Surely we must dedicate our natural abilities to God. It's the spiritual abilities, though, that are coming to light in this story and in our message tonight. Take your natural abilities and use them to exercise the God-given gift / talent, as we saw in our story, that we can be multiplying to the glory of God. We saw in our story talents. We see in the church in Corinthians gifts. They're not natural talents. They're above and beyond for service, and that really is wherein this message lies. Use your natural ability to exercise that gift that the Holy Spirit gave you when you became a Christian. It's very interesting that the man with one talent, one thing to tend to, and he did the least. Instead of taking all of his energies and pour it into his one talent, in contrast to having five talents and having to divide your energies five ways, this man wouldn't even put his energies into one. This is where I want us to really start to reflect on this. What is the matter with you? This guy has two, and he's divided his energies to fulfill both. And you have one, and you dug a hole and buried it. What are you thinking? And it was taken away from him. Look what happened to him in verse 28 of Matthew 25. Take that talent from him. And what do you do with it? Give it to him that has 10. Did you ever hear the old expression, you want something done, give it to a busy man? Great, I need 11 talents. And God says, I know you're going to use it. But if you don't use it, God takes it away. I want you to consider this man's excuses for his lack of service. Matthew 25, 24, then he which has received the one talent came and said, Lord, I want you to get this. He's saying, it's your fault. This is incredible. You want to hear blame shifting. Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man and reaping where thou hast not sown. You're first of all, you're hard. Number two, you don't even sow, and you gather where you have not strawed. You don't do anything, and yet you're holding me accountable. 24, look at it. You're a hard man. You don't sow. You gather where you didn't even straw. Let me quote, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. The one talent man seeks to put the blame of his failure to produce upon his master. He was like those who blame the Lord because of their limited gifts and shirk their responsibility to use faithfully what they have. They do not realize that to whom little is given, of him shall little be required. On the other hand, he who has received much is more accountable. The end of verse 25 says there. He says there, thou hast that is thine. He utterly failed to regard the very purpose for which the talent was entrusted to him, yet he sought to justify his negligence and supposed his Lord would be satisfied. He says in verse 25, I was afraid. Another quote, he was afraid lest by trading he should not gain what his Lord expected, and most of all, lest he should lose the talent itself, and dreaded his Lord's austerity. Should that be the case, fearing that he would have no mercy on him? This was his pretense, but the true causes were sloth and earthly mindedness. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 25. Thou wicked and slothful. That's the real reason. He used excuses, but the real thing was the master said, no, you're lazy and you're wicked because you didn't obey. You see, we're looking more than an earthly illustration here. We're looking at God Almighty. And when we apply ourselves to the one, two, or five, we have to remember God's going to bless it. He says, I was afraid. Okay, let's assume he was afraid. So what? Do it anyway. Because it's up to God. It's us to be faithful, and God has to see us through it. And how many times when we ask to do things, do it, and you say, I have no clue what I'm doing, and you get through it, and you do it, and you work, and all of a sudden you start to realize, boy, God really blessed this. Look where we're going. Things that you didn't think you could do before. Well, that's just not me. You're right. But God says, I gave you a gift. Use it. It's up to me to bless. It's up to you to be found faithful. Did the five and the two have no fear? We aren't told. If they did have fear, they overcame it. Is it possible they could have lost it? Earthly speaking, yes. Spiritually speaking, no. The five talented men are the geniuses of the world, successful in everything they touch. The two talented men, on the other hand, are not exposed to the temptations of genius, but are not quite at the minimum. But why did the man with the one talent make such ill use of his gift? Surely this is a true touch of life. One talented people can do so little that they do nothing. They are crushed and enfeebled by the sense of their own insignificance and inferiority. Many start life with high and pure aims, but presently they find their opportunities so meager, their influence so limited, their power so scanty that after a few struggles they give up in despair, and this ought not to be in the Christian life. Because it is not natural ability, it is God-given gifts that are supernatural. This is what we're working with. God made no mistakes. You may feel insignificant with your one gift, but that's to be gotten over because God made no mistake. A concert violinist had a brother who was a bricklayer. One day a woman gushed to the bricklayer, "It must be wonderful to be in a family with such a famous violinist." Then, not wanting to insult the bricklayer, she said, "Well, of course, we don't all have the same talents, and even in a family, some just seem to have more talent than others." And the bricklayer said, "You're telling me that violinist brother of mine doesn't know a thing about laying bricks. And if he couldn't make some money playing that fiddle of his, he couldn't hire a guy with know-how like mine to build a house. If he had to build a house himself, he'd be ruined." If you want to build a house, you don't want a violinist. And if you're going to lead an orchestra, you don't want a bricklayer. No two of us are exactly alike. None of us has every gift and ability. Our responsibility is to exercise the gifts we have, not the ones we wish we had. And when it comes to making decisions about our own life and the direction it should take, focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. Know yourself. Know what you do well, and then go with your strengths and shore up your weaknesses. What would we do if there were no bricklayers? If there were no plumbers? Folks, we need these people. It is a terrible thing to not exercise our God-given gift for His service. If you do, there will be a void in the ministry wherein you were to serve. The ministries will not be as effective as they could have been. You will miss blessings. The service will fall to another who's already busy. One, talented people are very necessary and very important. Quite often, the one talented person is missed when he doesn't do his job. When he does do his job, nobody notices. Go ahead. Don't clean the bathroom. You'll find out how important you are. But when the bathroom's clean, we don't even think about it. No one notices the man with his humble one talent. There is no outburst of praise or cheering. It is a greater test of the quality of the soul to go along doing one small thing well than to be able to turn with brilliant versatility from one talent to another. The monotony of life presses hard on those who have only one string on their bow, one tune to play, one act to perform in the great factory where labor is carefully subdivided. But the one thing that our Lord demands of each of us is to be faithful, faithful in a very little. He is watching each of us with great eagerness as we live our daily life because He knows, as we cannot realize, how much our position in the other world depends on our fidelity in this. It is for our sake that He is so anxious that we should make good use of our one talent. Have you only one talent? Are you doing anything with it? Remember, it's a 1 ounce weight that may turn the scales where hundreds of weights are balanced. It is a tiny tug that can move the great ocean liner. Be thou faithful in very little, and thou shalt receive well done from the Lord. God gives one talent, and He multiplies our effort. From the famous Charles Spurgeon, God's strongest saints realize their weaknesses and appeal to Him for strength. One Sunday morning, as Charles Spurgeon passed through the door back of the pulpit to the tabernacle, he saw the great crowd of people and was overheard saying, "Oh God, help!" Strong as he was, he realized that he was insufficient for so great a task as preaching the gospel in power, unless God should be his helper. Folks, no matter where you have been, no matter what God has led you to do, whatever abilities He has, you must depend on Him. Charles Spurgeon looked at the crowds and he said, "I can't do this." But with God, he could. Folks, with your talent, you can. Notice that the talent was taken from the man. God was very displeased. You were asked to tend to one thing, and you didn't even do that. He was rebuked. His talent was taken and given to another. Folks, if we don't tend to what has been given to us, we will lose and never regain. Did you notice that when it was taken and used for the Lord, God multiplied it? I want you to think about this, because this is so important. We serve the Lord. Got it? And if you serve faithfully, you know what God does? Gives you more work. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. And verse 21 of Matthew 25, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, you have done such a great job. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few, I'll make thee ruler over many." I remember seeing that depicted in a cartoon. And the guy was tending the monkeys. And he was being rewarded, and the guy has a gorilla on a chain, ready to give it to him. Like, oh, great. But if you're faithful over tending to your monkeys, God will give you a gorilla. It's not interesting also, when God gives you more, it says, enter into the joy. of the Lord. The joy comes from service and faithful service, and it will be trying at times, and it may be monotonous at times. And then God says, look, the day of reckoning has come. Well done. Here's more. And in that is joy. We have to understand where these things truly come from. No work is insignificant with God. Do you feel insignificant? I want you to think about this. Why would God give so many common people, and do you feel like, well, anybody can do my job? Then why did God make so many? Because jobs like that need a lot of people to tend to it. What if God only gave one person the ministry of this church to clean up the yard and to clean up the building? It wouldn't work. God had to give many people the desire, the burden, to answer the call to clean and make sure this building is maintained. That's why you have skills that other people have. Not because you're worthless, but because you're greatly needed. What would it be like? Okay, your job from now on, clean this whole building inside and out. And on your free time, tend to the lawn. That's why God made so many with overlapping talents. It's important. It's not that you're insignificant. The need is great. There is no shame in possessing one talent. There is a shame in not tending to it. Where would the church be if no one cleaned the bathrooms, no one vacuumed the floor, no one took out the trash, no one took the trash cans to the road, no one straightened the chairs, no one cut the grass, no one sprayed for bugs, no one shopped for supplies, no one worked the nursery, no one cleaned the kitchen, no one sat in the pew, and no one greeted the visitors? They're all common tasks for common people, for an uncommon God. Where would God's work be if the little maid remained silent? 2 Kings chapter 5. Where would God's work be if this little girl kept her mouth shut? And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What if that little girl had kept her mouth shut? I don't like being a slave here, and I hope he rots in that leprosy. Even in her difficult situation, she said, oh, if only he could go to the prophet in Israel. He could be helped. Where would God's work be if the little boy wouldn't have given his fish and loaves? John 6:8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What if he had not given up his fish and loaves? Simple. Where would God's work be if you fail to use your God-given talent? You see, Christian, I can't sit here and list all of the talents in this room. God knows, but I do know this. Every person in this room has the talent, the requirement to go and preach the gospel. Because when we walk out that back door and you go your way the rest of this week, you're going to interface people that the rest of us won't. And you have a God-given calling to a humble ministry of sharing the gospel. Where would God's work be if you do not exercise that God-given talent, that God-given responsibility? Mark 16:15, and he, Jesus, said unto them, the disciples, go ye into all the world. Well, I need a job at church. You got it. And it's endless. You got it. Many years ago, I had a guy come to me. He had lost his job. He was distraught. I said, you have a job. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, I want you up, dressed, and showered. Now, your job is to find a job. And you don't quit till 5 o'clock in the evening. He came back. It took a couple weeks. He said, I honestly took your challenge. I got up with purpose. I got a shower and I went out every day, all day. He got a job. Folks, we all have a job. Go soul win. Talent is a strange word. It means a coin or capability or gift. So when we are given children and we neglect to tell them the stories of faith, we are burying our talents. When we are given friends and we neglect to significantly touch their lives, we're burying our talents. And when we are given a song to sing and we sing it not, we're burying our talents. Whatever talent means, whatever it is we're burying, our money, our faith, our love, or a song, the meaning of the story is clear. Burying talents means not using God's gifts. This is not a game. One day, we will face the Master, the one who dispersed to us one, two, or five as he saw fit. And we're going to be accountable. What did we do with the abilities and the spiritual gifts that he entrusted to us? And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What more do you want? Sinners saved by grace, used by an almighty God.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.